It only counts as one, though.
Okay. Jerry, trying to get an extra vote?
I don't know why I meant as two.
Do you see yourself there in a blank, just your name?
Yeah.
Well.
Wait up his phone. Are you using your phone?
I am, yes.
Yeah, that's why.
Power to you, Jerry. Do we have our recording secretary or not?
No, same as last time, Peter. She's going to transcribe from
recording in progress
from the recording tomorrow.
Okay, I got a text from or email from Dawn about that. She doesn't attend the meeting, takes the recording and does the minutes after that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
As long as that's okay with the committee.
I think it's okay. I did have an email with her just saying that if I guess she was asking me if to let her know if we needed her in attendance, and I said we'd keep that in mind, but
okay.
It's all right with me if it's, unless you guys think it presents a problem. Maybe if we're going to have a room with a bunch of people in it, and I guess the challenge is knowing who's speaking.
Yeah, that's I thought of that too, but it seemed to work out last time.
She can see the recording now, and on a recording you can do speaking. So
she's not just listening to it.
No, we have the video recorded too, which we can make available to her, so she can look at that also.
I see what you mean. Okay.
I think that's what we did last time.
All right. Well, let's call a meeting to order. Permanent Municipal Building Committee. Looks like 7:02 p.m. Tuesday, February 1st, 2022. And it looks like DeMickey and Barry and Reynolds are here. Greg and Rich and Jerry and not Tom Gutowski, but Tom Richardson. Is Tom Richardson a temporary member now?
No.
Tom Gutowski is here, though.
Tom Gutowski's here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not seeing him.
I think he's the second Jerry Holland.
Jerry Holland.
Okay. Oh, Tom sneaked down as a Jerry Holland.
Yes.
Your poor thing.
Because Jerry does get two votes.
No, yeah. I want to be Jerry Holland. And Tom's joining us to just help out and pitch in. And am I missing anybody? We don't have Dave Madigan. But we've got our four new members and Karen and Ron and me. All right? Anybody from public participation wish to be heard at this point?
There are two people who are in attendees. They are not raising their hand or giving any indication that they have a question.
Okay.
If Mr. Waters or the phone caller does, they can raise their hand, and we will certainly recognize them, but at this point they appear to remain quiet.
So you can see him, Bob, but none of the rest of us can?
Myself and Glenn. Glenn is a co-host. He should be able to see them also.
Yep, there's only two, and there's no hands raised, so.
So let us know.
Yep.
I'm confused. Looks like we've got Tom Gutowski and we lost Jerry. Oh, there's Jerry. You guys know too much technology for me. You're switching around. All right, and Dave Madigan has joined us now. So we're into the item two, which is, or item three, which is review of our minutes from last month's meeting, and so we just did new members, you're invited to make any comments that you have about last month's meetings where you think there are clarifications or edits are necessary, and we just go around the room. I assume everybody's got them. When you take that screen away, I don't have my list of people here, but I usually start with Karen because she likes to read these closely.
Not as much as you, but okay, on page two, under section four, paragraph three, and it's the sentences starts with Mr. Nyberg, previously hired as architect by the town. I would like to change this to be Mr. Nyberg was the architect for the project, because I don't think we really need to have hired and then rehired. And then remove the last two sentences with just putting it as Mr. Nyberg was the architect. If that's okay.
That's fine with me. You're on the second page, on the third paragraph.
Under A, discussion with Peter Carey, Millennium Builders.
The paragraph starts
with the DPW project was part of the discussion, and then the last two sentences of that paragraph.
Yeah, I think it came out in the discussion because the town had hired Nyberg before they had engaged Millennium, and then Millennium engaged him as well.
Yeah, but do we really, I mean, if we want to keep the sentence, that's fine. I just didn't, you know, the rehiring piece was confusing to me, even though I knew it, what it was.
And what is the correction you're suggesting?
Mr. Nyberg was the architect on the DPW project.
You don't think it has any value to point out that he was separately engaged a second time?
I mean, until this conversation occurred at this meeting, I didn't know that he was.
Well, I understand that.
Okay, well, I mean, like I said, if we need to keep it, then that's fine.
I thought it was valuable to know that, since we're sort of facing this same juncture.
Okay. All right, then we'll keep it, that's fine.
Okay,
then on the next paragraph, the last in parentheses example given is washer and dryer, and I would like to put in specifically designed for protective gear, because this is the way it sounds. It's like it's only washer dryer for this, but I think the conversation was that there are washer and dryers specific for protective gear, specifically designed, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's what Gary has said, correct?
Yeah, that was the difference between a washer and dryer that would serve the house and EMS versus that washes fire gear, the turnout gear.
So specifically designed for protective gear is what I would like to insert. Because otherwise people will say, well, it's just a washer and dryer. It really is.
Yep, good point.
Okay, and then on two paragraphs down, it says currently the project, and at the last line, I have encouraged community not to spend money up front. I would like to change that to, as med change after the upfront as may be needed for the construction and materials of the project, as opposed to front end and end of needed. You know, I think that they try to say is that you want to save the money for the construction and the materials.
Yep, that's fine with me.
I think that's all I have.
Ron DeMickey. Ron, are you on? I can't see you.
He's on mute.
Ron, just let me know if you've got any comments.
Ron has to be unmuted.
Ron, is this your first Zoom? Hey.
I kind of like him like that.
Take the Zoom off, Ron.
Unmute yourself, Ron.
By the bottom of the screen. Bottom left hand of the screen, Ron.
You did it.
I got it. Did you?
Awesome.
I've had it off.
Can you
hear you before.
Oh. I'm screaming at you guys.
Just a little louder, please.
Sign language might have been
here. Anyways, page two, paragraph that begins, the committee members agree to hiring the architect and construction manager. I don't think we agreed to hire a construction manager.
Oh.
Right.
I had a question mark on that one, too.
Yeah.
Should that say engineer or just say nothing?
I say architect because the rest of it's going to follow under the architect.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's mentioned twice in here. Construction.
At the end of the paragraph.
Well, yeah, the last sentence, I would say, it is recommended the architect will take the lead on the project.
Yeah, but we don't know we're going to use a CM or not.
No, that was my first point.
Okay.
What else you have, Ron?
On the next page, page 3, the first paragraph, I think we should omit everything but the first sentence. From appropriate tasks are selected on it. We don't really need to have all that in there. It's just the first sentence describes what we talked about.
Okay.
Literally just through easy
agricultural calculations in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Anybody else feel strongly about that?
We're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then three paragraphs down, it says design build is a favorable way to proceed because of cost constraints. I'm not sure that makes any sense to me. We just may say that the committee feels that design build may be a favorable way to proceed.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And that's it.
Add again?
Nothing beyond that has been detailed already.
How about Tom Gutowski?
I'm okay with the minutes as written.
Jerry Holland?
Page 2, paragraph 7, that begins with, currently the project is at a schematic level, it should say conceptual.
Yeah.
And all other edits are accounted for.
Craig?
I'm okay with them with the changes made.
Rich?
I'm good with the changes as made.
All right, Don, when you listen to this tomorrow, you're going to wish you hadn't emailed me. On the first page under also present roll call, instead of, I guess new members is okay. I was thinking that strike that, leave that the way it is, new members. Second page, third paragraph that starts DPW project, that needs to say the committee reviewed the DPW project. And the steps to starting construction, and strike the rest of the sentence. At the end of that paragraph that says Mr. Nyberg previously hired as the architect by the town, instead of was rehired, I would put was also engaged by Millennium.
Thank you. Much better word.
Next paragraph, for the new fire station, more details including budget are necessary to meet the needs of the professional regulatory requirements. Take out the word checklist.
Actually, professional should probably be struck there as well.
For just regulatory, yeah.
Okay.
Regulatory requirements, yeah. Right, professional, okay. And the next sentence I stumbled over, architectural and construction require a level. I think the next sentence should maybe say architectural and planning, taking out the word construction, require a level of expertise with regulatory requirements. If we need that sentence, but I don't think we need construction. So, there's objection. Change that sentence to architectural and planning require a level of expertise with regulatory requirements, and take out the word service again. The next sentence, the next paragraph that begins, committee members agree to hiring. I don't think we agreed to that. I think the committee members discussed hiring an architect,
and we're already taking out a construction manager. Through the RFP process, then you strike the rest of the sentence and say, to prepare bridging documents for the project. Okay? Next sentence, without starting from scratch, the current scope will be followed with additional detail developed. In the following sentence, the architect will take the lead on the project with engagement from a design team, and I guess design team and engineer. I don't think we want construction manager at the end of that sentence. Unless and until we don't, based on last week's discussion. The sentence starting the next paragraph, which Jerry made a good amendment, currently the project is at conceptual level, which will be refined to, instead of meet regulatory requirements, I think we should say include regulatory requirements. The next paragraph starts, Mr. Skinner will develop the RFP, should say NRFP, for preparation of bridging documents. And then strike the next four words and we'll have ready. And just so we'll just say an RFP for preparation of bridging documents to discuss at the next meeting. The last paragraph there that starts, Reynolds encouraged the committee members to make the best decisions for the town with time being uncertain. I would like to add to that regarding cost and availability of materials. There it is. Second page, where we made the amendment to the first paragraph and the amendment to the fourth paragraph there, taking out because of cost constraints. And the second paragraph on that third page that ends, when used for the DPW project, it ran, that word should say smoothly instead of smooth. That's everything. Any other comments? Any questions?
I would just like to change one thing as far as how the people are presented for next to my name, Tom Gutowski, it should be Canton Fire and EMS, not Collinsville Volunteer Fire Department. That doesn't exist.
Oh, good. Yeah. Any other changes like that? And we don't have to keep repeating this each, you know, every time. You guys are members on a temporary basis for the duration of the project, but we do want it to be accurate where it's reflected there. So Tom, that should say Canton Fire EMS?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the other ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all the other ones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Good catch, Tom.
Good. Anything else? Okay, is there a motion to approve as amended?
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved as revised. Thanks all for looking at it. Sometimes it's good to do that because it sets you up to remember what we were working on before we start tonight. So we are now in item four, with review of the proposed RFP for architectural engineering services, which I guess people had a chance to look at. I don't know how many comments Glenn received, but why don't you tell us where things stand now, Glenn and Bob?
Well, Bob forwarded this to you. I think, as I recall from last week talking to Bob, that Jerry had a lot of input on it, which is good. Thank you. And then there's the list of questions. Would you like me to put those up on the screen? Or
would you rather?
Well, just be clear, what you're showing us now, Glenn, is what Bob sent out without any revisions?
This is post. Right, Bob? I'm pretty sure this is what you sent back to me.
Yeah, the way, kind of the way the process was that Glenn and Bobby worked on an original version. He came to me. I actually sent it off to Jerry. I was kind of busy. Didn't get a chance to look at it. Jerry made a number of revisions. We incorporated those revisions. And then I made some additional changes to it. And then sent it actually back to Jerry. And then also back to Glenn and asked Glenn to distribute it to the rest of the members. And it went out in the packet. And there were some comments that came back. I think, Peter, you commented on it, and maybe Ron commented on it. And so, but we didn't make any changes yet based on those comments. I think it's, you know, when we have a meeting and talk about those comments and where we want to go. One change we did make is that at the last meeting, we talked about having two separate RFPs, one for architectural services and one for engineering, which is similar to what we've done for DPW and other projects. In talking to Jerry and thinking about it, we decided to combine it as one RFP. If an engineer wants to go ahead and respond as an engineer, an architect, as an architect only, they can do so, but also full service firms want to respond, they can do so and put proposals in for as both, you know, the architect and engineer. So it gives those possibilities.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that first, or do you want to talk about these edits?
I don't care. I mean, you can talk about the edits if you want. I looked over the edits. I think they seem fine. I do have a question on, I think it was Peter, you were questioning whether we should do it as design build or design bid build and include one as an alternate. I'm not sure how that works with, you know, putting out the bridging documents and those things. It, I don't know. It seems to me we should make that decision in advance, but, you know, maybe there is a way you could bid both.
Bob, I think the way we could do that is to have essentially two proposals in one, because it takes the same assessment for the design team to prepare it. And so proposal one can be bridging documents for, you know, site, architecture, structure, MEP, and so on. And that bridging document, as Dave Madigan describes, establishes a standard for the design build team to follow to meet the program needs of the department and the town. As proposal two can be the full design services to take it through schematic, design development, construction documents, and then have another alternate to that for contract administration. And I think that by doing that, you get teams to look at it two ways. It gives the town additional options, and then the town can be positioned to either go out to design build or perhaps seek construction management to take on the project. And by doing it that way, you're really giving the maximum number of options for the committee to assess, look at the cost structure, look at the risk, and make a good decision.
But when we make the decision to go forward, we're going to have to decide which version we're going forward with, whether it be design bid or design build. I mean, you can put an RFP out with those two different options in it, but once you decide to go forward with an architect, then you got to decide which version you're going.
That's correct. So once you get those proposals back and you see the cost structure, then the committee can say, you know, understanding how much design is going into the bridge document, how much is really desired to complete the project, then, you know, we can continue to assess the market, and we'll talk more about the design build option and the pros and cons, I'm sure.
But, you know, all right, so, but they're not, I mean, it's going to be an alternate, so that they're not required to bid both versions. If you're just the design build firm, that's all you're going to have to bid.
So the design build, if you were a design build firm and you had an in-house architect and you wanted to respond to this RFP for design services, you would just submit on the second option and you would not the other, or vice versa.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that that design build firms would respond to this. This is really a typically the owner would engage an architectural team, architect engineering team, and do the bridging documents, which are, you know, typically schematic design plus a bunch of design build contractual requirements. And that would then be responded to by design build firms who may or may not have an architect on staff who would then take the documents and complete the design and then execute the, you know, the construction. You know, I think the idea of getting proposals both ways is probably a good one. You know, the question, I guess, is it sounds like the town had good experience with the IDIQ approach, which I'm not super familiar with, but sounds like you had good luck with it on the DPW project. And I don't think that you're obligated to, to execute that in a design build kind of fashion. You know, you could do a full design, right, and then, you know, do the IDIQ approach. Is that correct?
You could.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I guess the benefit of design build is it sort of gives the, you know, the contracting firm maximum latitude to, leverage cost savings in the design, whereas if you do a full design, they're obligated to abide by the specs that the, you know, that the design team puts together. So in general, I think, you know, design bid build is better if the concern is quality and control of the design and final product. But if lower price cost control is the goal, then design build tends to be a better approach. And, you know, so I think getting proposals, there's no downside of getting proposals both ways. But I think, as you say, Bob, we would have to, make a decision, at some point. But once we get the architect going, which direction we want to take, you know.
Well, you make that decision after you get the proposals in. It doesn't cost
Right.
Yeah, I'm just saying, when you contract with the architect, you've got to decide which way you're
going
to go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, but as Jerry says, I think it gives us the option of to pick and choose.
It does.
We'll be making the decision with more information than we have now.
Yeah. It can hurt.
That's why it seems worthwhile. We've got real concerns, obviously, about cost control given the construction market right now. And I'm not sure do we want to make the decision about design build tonight, or do we want to defer that decision until we have more information?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that by having the RFP for design services go out for both the bridging document and for complete design services, it allows the committee to make a prudent decision in a month or a month and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fine. Yeah,
it can't hurt.
Yeah, I don't think there needs to be a lot. The only issue I think, there's additional scope that would need to be captured in the RFP, but I think you can refer to standard AIA documents for that scope of services. I think it's the AIA B141 or something like that.
B141.
Yeah. A reference to that pretty much captures the scope of services,
And does that predetermine or have with it a construction management, or that doesn't go that far?
Well, it can be either GC, competitive lump sum bid, or it can be a construction manager. You can take the design documents and move them.
It can be either. Yeah. We're not deciding that now.
No.
Right. Well, I think we all share the concern that the market seems, the industry market is volatile, and we've got to get the most we can out of this, which may mean we need a fair amount of control over it. I don't know if that means control of the design or control of the whole process, but probably
both.
Both, yeah. Well,
then I, you know, let's just go through these. The things on my list, I think, echoed what Ron had mentioned, that the demolition needs to appear in here. Not that there's a big design component of that, but if nothing else, it's got to be sequenced. And I don't think there's much reference to demolition. So did you think about where to put that, Glenn, or do you have a different feeling that shouldn't go in here?
I don't think it hurts having it in there, and scope of services would probably be the place to put it, unless anybody else has any other ideas.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. It's, you know, it's pretty straightforward. I think, you know, generally that's covered in demolition specifications. There's standard specs for that, but it should be captured as part of the scope, I think.
A question that will come up, I'm sure, if we don't address it, will be that of environmental.
Yeah, this is just a hazardous material assessment.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, do we have a hazardous material assessment of the existing building?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, so the big three that will come up will be ACM, PCBs, and lead. And so if you, does a town typically contract for environmental engineering separate from abatement services?
I think we did that for DPW. Bobby, is that right?
Yeah, we had somebody come in and do the testing, and then we had abatement done. We had the same company do both, but we went out and got prices from three different firms for both services.
That can be done either by the owner or by the design team, and I would tend to think it's better to be done by the owner.
Does that mean you don't want it in the scope?
Don't want it in. That would be my suggestion. Don't do it in the scope. Do it as part of the owner, and then furnish the, you know, you furnish the report to the design team. But basically, the, you know, the assessment and then the method for, you know, remediation would be handled by the town.
As it is a total demolition of the building, that would, you know, is the town going to take on the demolition, or is the town going to, you know, through the contract? You know, that might be a question.
I don't see the town taking on the demolition.
Okay.
You sure you don't want to jump in on that, Bobby, and say you'd like to do it?
You guys got some bucket loaders and bulldozers there. You can have at it.
Yeah, we can use the Bobcat.
I know it's relatively minor, but what about the softball building that's on site right now? Is that being done, or is that relocated?
The softball building is going to be relocated. Well, actually, parts will be relocated. Some of it's going to be demoed.
Yeah, dugouts are going to be... what we can are going to be moved, but really that's about it. The existing structure is going to have to go. There's a storage building that will be movable.
Is that part of this project, or is that part of the softball field project?
That's a separate project.
Softball field. Yep.
Anything else like fencing that you'll take care of, or the softball takes care of?
The fencing at Dyer Field right now is not going to be reusable.
So who's going to take it out?
Part of the demo of the site, I would imagine, for the firehouse project. You have an existing site. You've got an existing site that you're going to be constructing a brand new project on. I think demo should encompass the demo of whatever we're not going to reuse at the new field. That's my thinking.
Yeah, that's a site preparation thing.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Okay. What about curb cuts? Do we need DOT approval for curb cuts?
Yes, you will need that. We had to have it on our building.
That's what I thought. And, I mean, is that just assumed in the code study plan or something here?
We took care of that ourselves, and we could do that again, or we could build it in to the contractor's responsibility.
But under scope, Peter, I think where it says all required regulatory compliance, that probably encompasses that.
Including road, yeah.
It's nice to put, that's a nice thing to put on the contractor, because then they have the responsibility to, you know, do it properly and to maintain it. And if there's any issues, then the contractor has to assume the responsibility for it. So, but it could be done either way. Bobby's right.
But so the approvals, that could fall under task two for STC approvals, right? State Traffic Commission.
Yep.
They could just put it in there, and that way it's caught.
Okay.
Because there's approvals, but then there's also during construction, you've got, you know, anti-track mat and all that to keep the roadway clean. That's right. That's not the cut, but the approval is typically not.
Right.
I think that's one thing that's missing in the scope is site. You should say, yep, site.
That was one of my comments, too, is site civil, probably after architecture. Landscape is covered, but it doesn't say site civil work.
As part of the site work, you also have to touch on stormwater regulations also. You're going to need an industrial stormwater plan for this building, more than likely, because of your floor drains and your water separator. You'll probably have basins in the parking lot. So that should be in the scope also.
Yeah, I mean, I would put that under site civil utilities, but it could be, you know, it could be broken out separately also.
Yeah, that's where an experienced professional would know that when you've got bays with floor drains that have to have oil, water, or grit separator.
Yeah.
And that's actually on the top of page two.
Yeah.
The oil, water separator, et cetera.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's covered. We don't have to go to inland wetlands for this, do we?
Inland, the wetlands is well past the 100-foot mark. It's across the street where the rails to trails is where the stream is.
Yep.
So I don't think we have to. I don't know. Planning and zoning would prefer us, but doesn't look like we're in their purview.
Yeah.
I think it's outside of the jurisdiction, but I'm not sure if, I can reach out to Neil Pade and get his opinion.
It's outside the upland review area. The only way they would take it is they said it had a substantial impact, detrimental impact on wetlands. And considering the distance to the nearest wetlands, I think that would be a stretch. So yeah. I tend to doubt
to sum it up, you could say, you know, everything required per CT Doc 330L, which is the document from the state that lists everything from the FAA approval to inland wetlands. Yeah, just reference that document and you'll cover everything.
What's that document called?
CT Doc 330L, Lima.
I'm going to have to Google that one.
It's a really handy document.
Okay.
Do we have floodplain issues there, Glenn? I see that's on top of page two.
At the firehouse site, I don't believe so. Okay. I think all floodplain is encompassed at, you know, outside of the DPW footprint.
Yeah.
In the area.
Well, I thought so, but it's on there. I just wasn't sure. It doesn't hurt to have it on there if it's not, I suppose. See, it's the second bullet from the top.
Floodplain regulations, yeah. Yeah, I think this document probably covers covers some things that are not going to apply, and I think that's probably one of them.
It's good. It's got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, it's good to have. Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is good.
We have anything on there about environmental issues? I know at DPW we actually had to have a heptologist come in because of box turtles. I'm not quite sure what the official name would be or the scope, but we want to reflect something there that the site people would take into consideration.
I think we hired those folks ourselves, though, if I remember correctly. I would leave that on us. I mean, if it's identified by, you know, the deep maps to be an area in which we have a protected species, I think we would just hire the same herpetologist or whatever the guy was that we did last time, and he can explain to us where turtles hide when we're digging and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'd leave it on. I don't think it needs to be in the scope. There. I don't know if there's anything in there as far as like soil contamination goes. Usually there's an exclusion for that, which the people responding to it will always put in and say that's additional. But I don't know. Was your thoughts just about turtles and protected species, Bobby?
No, I was also talking, you know, in case there's anything in the ground. You know, I'm not sure if, I mean, we're also going to probably have to take some borings of this.
Yeah,
is that going to be
the question?
Part of the
I thought we actually did borings.
There have been borings there.
Okay.
There wasn't anything that was contaminated. I don't know if they did compaction type tests, but there certainly there wasn't anything of contamination there. The concern is the railroad did go through there. Sometimes there's things that are a little funky that are attached to the railroad, but at least the borings didn't indicate that when you did it.
But it is a good question, though. Geotechnical services would need to be a part of this to support the structural design.
Yeah, it's often done by the owner, though, so we can go either way. Yeah.
So what's your history on doing that?
I more typically see it by the owner, although more and more these days you do see it part of the design. It can go either way. Design teams used to exclude it all the time because, you know, concern about liability if the geotech, you know, does a bad job and the building settles or something like that. But I think it could go either way. The question I have is I believe we did have borings done. I don't know how complete they are and whether, you know, they're satisfactory to base the foundation design on, or whether you know, we need to have more borings done. Do we have a copy? Anybody know where that is?
Weston and Sampson did that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
They would probably engage someone to do it. They typically wouldn't do it themselves, but
I believe they were supplied.
Clarence Welty or somebody like that.
Mm.
I think that was
Clarence Welty.
Contract, Dave.
They were supplied to Silver Petroselli when they did the designs and were looking at the, you know, where to put the building.
And I don't think they were extensive borings. I think they were somewhat preliminary.
Yeah, I can try to locate those. Those, if we paid for them, then I'm sure we've got them. So I can dig those out.
Well,
the other thing would be the location of those. So. See if we do have a map on that.
Ron, do you recall anything from the fire station construction that that ought to be brought forward to our consideration on this site?
The police department?
Sorry.
No, nothing that I recall.
Yeah.
We didn't have no serious issues with structural, you know, the structural soils or anything like that, no.
Is there anything underground there? Do they have a basement or anything?
For the police station?
Slab on grade.
Slab on grade.
Slab on grade, yeah. Yeah, I was just wondering.
The only thing that wasn't even major, I think, was that the easement that went through there.
It's the water utility, isn't it?
The MDC, right?
Yeah. But there were no major issues constructing that.
Well, I wanted to respect your seniority, Ron, but also test it, and you did pretty well.
I passed.
It passed.
Hey, my name's on the plaque too, you know.
Is that right?
I think I was on for one meeting, and I ended up on the plaque. I was like, how'd I pull this one off?
Do we want to include any survey work, or is that something we'll take care of in the scope?
It can go either way. Again, I would say have the owner, you know, have the town provide the survey.
Do we have anything out here to review the conceptual plans and floor plan? We had discussions last meeting, like the washer dryer, for example, and I think there's a few things we might want to tweak, and I don't think there's any review of the floor plan in here.
That was actually one of my comments was, in the scope of services, it says evaluate existing preliminary facility plans, and then it has a few things. I thought, program and equipment requirements or something like that was what I put down, because it doesn't really say to review the program, which would, delineate all that equipment required and stuff.
Yeah, right? If I'm reading this, they're taking the preliminary plans we have, and that's what we're running with. So I think we'd like to review that before we go with the
rest. I think you brought that up, Peter, didn't you, in your comments?
Yeah, it could go under task one, I think.
Yeah, I would put it under task one because it says evaluate them largely for code compliance, but I think a review of the program requirements and layout is warranted too,
Jerry, didn't you say at the last meeting that there are some issues, items that are missing that are going to be required?
That's correct. Yep, for sure. And I think that now that, you go through the process to get a design team on board that's committed to the deliverable of either the bridging document or the complete document, and we really need to go through that with a fine-tooth comb and make sure, with the design team, that all those spaces are there and all the equipment's there. And the example that I gave was that there's only a single laundry or washer dryer location. One needs to be set up for turnout gear. A separate room needs to be done for house laundry and EMS clothing. So that's just a space programming. It affects plumbing, a little bit of electrical. Yeah, so those kinds of things do matter.
I think that's number four on my list to you, Glenn.
That was my
comment as well. Yep.
I do have a quick question in that regard. And it's under task one, step two, under applications, a list generator size requirements, apparatus bay exhaust system. And that's something I think that the department needs to weigh in on, whether the strategy is to buy or have apparatus with scrubbers or to have like a Plymo vent, a bay exhaust. And the reason it's important is because if that is a requirement, it will drive mechanical, electrical design. And I don't know the answer to that right now. Tom, do you know, by chance?
No, I don't, Jerry. I don't know how we're going to go on that. I mean, we go either way.
Right.
Hey, Jerry? It's if you want to come across over to our building, you can take a look at our system. It's pretty simple. There's a detector system, and there's vents that automatically open up when needed. I think we've only seen it open up once with all those trucks inside the building, but that's what we went with. If you want to come over and take a look at it.
I think that's a similar system to what's in North Can as well.
Yeah, okay.
And probably a lot more cost effective than the PlymoVent type system.
Right, Station 2 is the only one that has PlymoVent. It's good to get a clear direction before this gets issued. If we think that we don't need it, we strike it here.
Can we just change that to an evaluation of options?
Yeah, I was going to say.
They give us options of like a PlymoVent versus a positive pressure system, or
can that take place during the programming portion of it?
You guys, because that list? Either a PlymoVent or a bay exhaust system, right?
Have you guys see the cost difference between them? One other question, Bob, I don't know if you know about this, but you've got that fiber line going at the existing station. Is there anything special with the state for moving that to the new building?
We handled that ourselves. Let's find it. We used Horton Electric to move the fiber from the pole into an underground setup for our building, which is probably what will be needed on your new building.
Okay, and that was some, it's on the state system, I believe, or it was implemented by the state. So.
Yeah, that's actually, I believe that fiber that goes into there is our fiber. That's our dark fiber that we have that we strong. So I think the state fiber actually goes into Kent Spring Station. That fiber that goes into Collinsville is our fiber. So we would be responsible for moving it.
I wasn't sure if it was part of their system or not. So.
It's ours.
The comment I have under task three says, prepare contract bid documents based on the approved plans. Contract bid documents would imply a fully developed set of documents, and I would change that the term contract bid documents to something like design build specification and contractual requirements. Because as the RFP sits, it's really for a set of bridging documents, not complete construction documents.
So you want to refer to both of them in task three as alternatives?
Well, I think that, you know, that's where we, I think as the RFP exists, it would be for bridging documents to facilitate a design build, turnover. So you would get issue the documents prepared to design build contractors and get a complete price back for the building and all the associated additional design work that went along with it, and that would not be what I would call contract bid documents tends to imply like a full set of bid documents that a contractor would bid on.
Design bid build.
Yeah, design bid, all right. So if we want to have the alternate, as we discussed before, for complete design services, then then at the conclusion of that, they would have contract documents for bidding purposes.
But could it be contract bridging documents?
For design build contractor or something like that, because it has to include a bunch of stuff. Like, you have to hire an architect and design team and all that stuff to take these documents and get them stamped and sealed and blah, blah, blah. So.
What else we got? Other comments?
I did on the schedule. Page three.
Yep.
So RFP gets issued on the 9th, on or about the 9th. Get them back on the 9th. I thought it might make sense to have an interview of the teams on March 16th. I have to check my calendar. I was assuming that the 9th was Tuesday. Maybe it's not. But, whatever that second Tuesday is of the month, perhaps.
I think obviously we're going to have interviews with them. I just is reluctant to put down a specific date. You just don't know when everybody gets together and those type of things. If you want to put, interviews to follow, but I think most of them anticipate there's going to be interviews. I don't know. I worry sometimes about putting too many of those things in the RFP that we may not be meeting those specific dates.
Got it. Yeah, that's fine.
You want to have a site visit at all, or you just want to skip that?
I think you can pass on that. It's an open site. They can see it.
So these lists of comments, I think we've addressed Ron's number one and number two shown here. Number one we talked about, number two is just a date change. Simple enough. And then Peter's comments. For myself, I'd like to make sure that 1 through 6 are, you know, covered, and that if there's anything that I can that I'm going to need to change, that I know what I have to change. So it's up to you.
Well, number one is just, it just seemed to me that we want some other language instead of the town has prepared concept site plan.
Okay.
Right. Is it, I mean, conceptual site plan? I'm not familiar with concept site plan, but if that's a term of art that's acceptable, then stick with that.
Change that to conceptual. It's better grammar, I think.
Yep.
And then two, again, is just this idea of whether we want this just to be a soliciting design build, or if we want design to have the option of design bid build. And so we've obviously been talking about that, and you can decide where it goes in. It just occurred to me that it could be identified in that that initial paragraph. It's sort of an introductory paragraph. But the question about eliciting DBB is one that comes up in several places. So those don't matter if we're not going to do that. But if we are going to do it, then you've got to figure out where you want it to put it, but I don't think it has to be right where it occurred to me. So that's number two. Number three is still also that introductory paragraph asking about the curb cut and DOT, and I think we've covered that. Crossing the utility easement, I guess just looking at the site material to figure out that there's that MDC easement that runs parallel to River Road.
Mm-hmm.
Scope of services is number four. Should task one also include reviewing the operational programming? And I think we agreed that it should.
Yes.
Number five is in scope. Should item two include references to road access, curb cut, demolition sequencing? And again, the alternate, I think we've talked about all of those. And six is, again, if we have some opportunity for design bid build approach documents, then that calendar date, the scheduled date on the bottom of page three, November 2022, we've got saying bridging documents and bid packets complete for competitive design build process. So we just need to accommodate the additional concept in the calendar schedule there.
And for January as well.
Yeah, so
January 2023.
Yeah, November 2022 could say bridging documents and bid package complete for a competitive design build process, or CM up bidding, where you can kind of do the same thing in the same timeline. And one thought, Peter, is perhaps if there is a simple bid form that is attached to this package that would spell out, you know, the name of the architect and the team, and, you know, the base bid for the bridging documents and alternate bid for complete CDs. And that way it's spelled out very clearly that there's option A and option B, and the same firms could submit on both.
Right. That works for me. I think the construction experts and Bob and Glenn have to be confident about going that way, but it makes a lot of sense from my perspective.
Yeah, I'm just jotting down notes as you guys are talking.
Yeah.
That sounds actually like a good idea.
And then on page four, if we could have under the additional requirements, if the proposals can be submitted by email to Bob Skinner and with copies to Peter Reynolds, would that be acceptable?
It's fine with me. The town enters the contract, but obviously we're all going to want to review what proposals we get.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just have them come into one place, and then we, you know, send them out to all the members.
Gotcha.
Also, I'm always worried if you get too many names on the RFP, then they start calling people whose names on there looking for information and that kind of thing. So, yeah, the more we can limit that, the better.
If you need another name, use Jerry's.
I think it winds up being a meeting too. I think if everybody is copied on it and starts talking about it, so.
Yeah. No. I just send it to one place and we'll take care of it.
Gotcha.
One comment on the submission of statement of qualifications. It outlines, I think, a pretty complete requirements for what we included in the proposal. But one thing I don't see is a list of any consultants, you know, so we understand what the firm what services the firm would provide versus what they would subcontract and then to identify the subcontract firms.
Okay.
That's a good point.
I don't have any objection to the calendar dates, but I do notice that March 9 would be the week following the PMBC meets on March 1st, and then PMBC wouldn't meet again for 5 weeks until April 5th, and then we've got at that point 4 days to apparently make an award. I don't know what you think the best steps are. I certainly don't mind trying to find a time to meet the week after March 9th if you think that's desirable. Also put together a subgroup to do interviews or whatever. I just want to take advantage of what we know is scheduled already and at the same time give these guys, prospective interested professionals, the chance to do a good job and have enough time to respond.
And then prepare for an interview.
Yeah.
Well, there probably isn't much reason for us to have a meeting prior to these proposals being received, so we could just push our meeting back a week or something, you know. And then at that meeting, we could talk about who wants to, you know, when we want to have interviews and who wants to be on the interview committee, you know.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Bob Skinner?
Yeah, I would just change your meeting date. I mean, generally, we give firms a month, especially, I think, in the nature of this project. You know what? You know, this isn't like they're bidding on a Ford truck. So you want to give them a little bit of time to respond. So I would want to give them at least a month. So I think probably what you'd end up doing is just changing the date of your meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, find a time when everybody can meet. We'll review them, shortlist them, set up, you know, interview panels, those things.
Yep. Well, so we could bump PMBC to a special meeting 2 weeks later, which would be March 15th. Unless you want to try and meet that just keeps it on a Tuesday, unless you want to try and meet the 9th or the 10th. And then you could make the, I don't know if we're going to be able to make the award in 2 weeks or not. I suppose if we say make the award by April 15th, we can always do it beforehand if we're able to.
Do we have to have the reward date?
You don't have to.
No.
I mean, they have to keep the bid open for an extended period of time anyway. So generally, you'll put that in because you want to give some idea of the speed at which you want to move.
Right.
But if you want to leave it out, or we can put language in there saying, you know, dates aren't certain, but are, you know, benchmarks or something along those lines.
Yeah, we don't
have an April. Just put it April of 2022 instead of a specific date.
Application reviewed and consultant selected in April.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That sounds fair. But applications are reviewed in March. Reviewed interviews.
Well, I can tell you that we typically don't put a reward, any reward date information in our RFPs, or you certainly don't need, I mean, you could, yeah, you could say that we will, reward in the month of April 2022, and yeah, then you don't have a specific day, I mean, either way.
I think we just scratched that all together.
Yeah.
Because technically, if you're reading it, we get submissions March 9th, and then we start reviewing them April 9th.
Yeah.
Applications reviewed and consultants selected, so I would just scratch that whole thing.
When do you want to give them some time frame on when they're going to be interviewed?
Bob said he thought they would just assume that they'd hear from us about interviews.
Yeah, I don't think you need to put an interview date in. I mean, we can... what we'll do is we'll sit down, shortlist them, and then reach out to each consultant and let them know the dates that we want to interview with them. And they'll usually make arrangements to be here.
Yeah, it's typical. Well, right, and ideally we'll be able to do that in the last couple of weeks of March, but it doesn't always get done that fast.
Maybe just saying selection process in April, something like that.
Well, Glenn and Bobby don't seem to think it's necessary to say that.
I mean, it probably doesn't hurt. I don't care if you want to put it in. I just, I think most places assume that once you start reviewing the applications, you're going to move forward with the selection process.
Because you're going to open bids on, you're going to open the proposals on March 9th, right? And then you're going to hold the meeting fairly soon after, no?
Well, what we usually do when we open bids is we explain the process at the table. Most of the bidders will be there, and we'll tell them that we're going to, review and make sure everyone's qualified, and then there'll be an interview process, and we'll get back to you on that, and then we'll set that up, with whatever way we want to do it. That's usually what we do when we do interview people. Normally there's two of us there. I don't know if anyone wants to be there from the committee, but Glenn and I can do the bid opening and explain all this verbally to everyone, and that way everyone understands what the process is. Or you can do something different.
How do you do that when they're email only?
When you say email, they have to actually.
You're asking for hard copies, right?
Yeah,
we are. Yeah, we don't usually do on a sealed bid. You really can't do email because then it's not sealed. So right. we would normally do these by mail. If it's an actual sealed bid, you have to do it.
Okay, so. That's fine. I mean, there are some programs that do it by an electronic submission, and My confusion, I'm sorry. It's
we do on some things, if it's not a sealed competitive bid, or sometimes if it's just professional services, which arguably you might be doing it this way, but I think the safer is to have them come in a sealed package. We can ask them for some kind of electronic storage device, so we'll ask for, eight copies on a thumb drive, which then we can easily distribute. We've done that before, or just one electronic copy for that matter. Mm-hmm. But even then, a lot of times we'd rather scan in ourselves because we don't trust what's going to be on the thumb drive that they give us. This day and age with viruses and everything else. So usually we'll just have them give us a copy, we'll scan it in, and then send it out to everybody.
Yeah, and we'll always post on the website, what the results of the opening were, like within a day or two. So all the firms will be able to see what all the other firms sent in.
Do you ever list the selection criteria in your RFPs?
We have. the things that we'll look at, especially sometimes if we're concerned that somebody may think it's just going to be on price and we're looking at other things other than price, we will certainly put the criteria that we're looking at.
And we've got language that gives us, you know, the ability to choose a bidder based on the best interests of the town. So it doesn't have to always be the lowest bidder.
For this kind of thing, I would think a quality-based selection process
Yes.
is appropriate. And, you know, it could be the low bidder, but we should, you know, we should pick the best firm for this, not necessarily the lowest price. So.
Well, for professional services, you're not bound by the lowest qualified bidder requirement anyway, are you, Bob?
No, you're not.
That's what I'm saying.
Sometimes we'll put it in there just because we don't want to leave anything to chance, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So if you, Glenn and Bob, you know, want to have eyes on revisions and after you incorporate the stuff we've talked about,
yeah,
feel free to circulate. We'll try and get back to you. I know you want to get this out.
Yeah.
I've been looking at the calendar, and I'm not sure whether PMBC needs to meet right after these bids come in. Where I was thinking about meeting on the 15th, but we probably don't all have to talk about all the bids unless people want to. Maybe we don't even need a March meeting, and we should just have the list get narrowed down and spend, you know, the 3 weeks following March 9th doing interviews, which might put us in position to try to make a decision at the regular meeting on April 5th. I want to do what you think is most efficient for what we're trying to accomplish.
That makes sense, but you should probably determine the interview committee tonight then before we
enter. I mean, I don't know. It seems to me, Pete, you know, it would be nice to get the proposals, send them around, and let people comment on who they think are the, you know, the best candidates for interview. If you're going to shortlist a three or four or something, let people comment on that, maybe discuss it at a meeting, and then proceed with the interviews. You know, it's hard to get that input independently without a meeting. You know, you're limited by, we can't all reply to all and do stuff like that, you know.
No, I would certainly think that we would distribute them to the panel, and then we would have a meeting and shortlist them at that time.
Yeah, okay.
And we can set up, okay, you know, score sheets and all those things and go through and do it, you know, in a logical fashion. I would agree. I don't want to send them out and have everybody comment on them, because then you do end up in a legal meeting. So I think the best thing is to send them out with the, you know, review sheets that we would use and actually reviewing them, and then shortlist them and come up with the candidates that we would go ahead and interview.
I think what we've done with interviews on past projects is it's sort of who can be available on short notice to do it. It's hard for everybody to do it. We can sort that out though when we see how many people we're gonna want to visit with. Does March 15th work for people, and does that work for Bob and Glenn to turn that around if the bids come in on the 9th?
Yeah, I don't see that. That's yeah.
Energy committee meeting that night, right? Is that the second? Is that an energy committee meeting night?
That's actually the third.
That's the third.
Third Tuesday.
Okay, yeah, that's third. Yeah, so we'll get right.
Yep.
Okay.
I think the 15th is the third Tuesday.
Oh, is it?
Right? Is it? So the first is the. I don't have my calendar.
The first is a Tuesday.
Yeah, so then...
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the, yeah, March 1st is... That's the first day. Yeah, the first Tuesday of the month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I could skip the energy meeting for that.
Is your meeting on the second Tuesday or the third Tuesday, Dave?
Third.
Oh, third, okay. Well, I'd be happy to look another date. You want to try the 14th?
I mean, that's okay. I don't want to, you know, mess everybody else up if Tuesday works, but... you know, if we can do it the next day, that's fine too.
What's in course?
Yeah, either day.
Bob or Glenn, you have a problem with March 14th?
No.
Monday?
No.
I might. I have to check and see the budget process. Once we get into March, it's Mondays become usually Board of Finance nights. But I may not. I mean, you can go ahead and schedule it there, and I'll do what I have to do.
And does that give you enough time to turn around the bids that come in on the previous Wednesday?
Oh, sure. Yep, okay. That's not a problem.
Yep, can make time for that.
Okay. There will be a special meeting. It's a Monday. And we'll cancel the regular meeting on the 1st.
Yep.
And people will get the RFP responses in advance to review.
I'll be traveling the week prior, so if Bob, if we can get scans, that would be great.
Okay. You're back the 14th, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else on the draft RFP or the schedule that we've been talking about? People feeling good about it? All right. The other component of the discussion tonight is, which I don't think we have to decide now, but is the discussion that we started a little bit last week, EZIQC, design build, design bid build. I guess the perspective that the questions that I have are what's the reason not to do the different methods? What are the pros and cons? And I know different people have had different experiences with these, and I don't feel that we have to make a decision about it tonight because it may make sense to wait and get more information. But I want everybody to be heard about it because it's, you know, there's pros and cons to each, and it's a tricky construction industry and building climate now, and it will be next year too. So we want to be as strategic about it and as well informed as we can be. Do people want to spend time talking about it tonight? Do you think it makes sense to spend any time on it, or just wait and see what the landscape looks like when we get proposals?
I have no problem waiting.
We just made that part of the RFP, so we might as well evaluate once those come in.
Yeah. Ron, Dave?
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay.
All right. And if you're familiar with one of these and not familiar with another, feel free to ask questions of others to get informed. I think we've all got the goal of doing what we can to best fight inflation and control costs and get everything we want in this project, so it's a good one. Anything else on the fire station EMS project? Then we're going to go to review and approval of invoices, which is yet again our shortest item.
Yep, there are none.
And Chairman's report is really just the revision on the date, and a notice will go out that we will cancel the regularly scheduled March 1st meeting and do a special meeting. And you know, Glenn, when we do the special meeting, we have to specify what's in the agenda and then confine our discussion to what's set forth there, but that shouldn't be a big issue. That's all I have. I'm also interested in hearing from people if you have particular strong feelings about meeting in person versus meeting online like this. Glenn asked me each month what we should do. I think we managed to actually meet in person in December, which was incredibly exciting. But it's lasted me a couple months so far, so this is good too. And this is obviously more convenient, and when people are sick or bugs are going around, it's definitely the way to go. But if anybody has a strong feeling about it, and I suppose, you know, when we meet with our professionals, it may be wise to try to meet them, unless they're from a long distance. Sometimes it's nice to just see somebody in person, but we can decide that. But if people have strong feelings about it, please feel free to let me know.
That's all I've got. Anything else from Bob or Bobby or Glenn?
Nope.
Okay. We're going to adjourn. It's 8:20. That's two meetings in a row adjourning at 8:20. Just go on record with that. Let us know if you want us to look at the revised RFP plan and Bob.
Yep.